Welcome to another episode of Sactown Talks, where we chat with Sacramento's movers, shakers, and eclectic personalities. And movers and shakers, indeed, we've brought to you this week with Tina
Erickson.
And Johnny Ochoa. Johnny is my swing dance professor at Sacramento, at the Sacramento Barfly.
Yes.
Tuesday nights at 7:30 to 8:30. There you'll see me and my fiance making a fool of ourselves. You know, we're not particularly talented.
I wouldn't say
you know, we're not.
I think you're fine. You're doing, you're very talented.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks. That's kind of you. That's kind of you. But, you know, just for everyone listening out there, a little bit about your host and a little bit about, I guess, what I'm hoping to do with this space is to, you know, create a space for community to engage in dialogue with each other and to also just, you know, take people that I meet in my regular life and be like, hey, you know what? That's a cool scene. That's a cool person. Let's talk to them and let's record it for posterity and let's just chat. So, one of the things that I found interesting about swing dance is that there is, there's like a scene around swing that I didn't realize. And a lot of that comes from Sactown Swings. Mm-hmm. Tina, can you tell us a little bit about Sactown Swings and sort of what the impetus for it was and sort of how you've created a community around it?
Well, it's really a friendly dance community that just sort of evolved out of an idea. So we just, you know, a friend of mine decided one day to start a venue and he asked me if I would teach with him. And I said, sure, let's do it. And then, you know, we started one night and one couple showed up. And then the next time it was two and then it was four. And then it just built, you know, from there. And it's really a great, it's a great scene in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Very friendly.
I heard it's the longest running club in California. Is that right?
I think Northern California.
I think it's California. I couldn't find anything longer. For a swing night, for like a weekly swing night.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And just for folks listening, it's Barfly in Midtown.
Midtown Barfly right now is the venue.
Okay.
And we've been there for quite a few years.
Over 11.
My goodness.
I want to say, I think...
Barfly's been there for 11 years?
Well, so it was Club 21. It's been different things over the years.
Got it.
That building.
Yeah, it's been there a long time.
Yeah.
But it was, I think we moved there actually 13 years ago.
Very cool.
I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and it's, you know, like I said, it's changed hands but over time, but we've stayed in there. We're the... In that venue, for sure, we're the longest promoters. Like, other promoters come in and go out, but we Tuesday nights, we've been able to lock it down.
Yeah. Can you talk about that? How does that work? Do you guys have to pay for it, and then you make up the difference, or... And no. You don't have to answer that if you don't want, but...
No.
I'm actually just kind of curious how it works.
Well, it's a... Maintaining an evening at a club is a little tricky. It's not like if we were just at the ballroom or at a studio where it's all ages, not a bar, it might be a little easier.
Okay.
So that's why a Tuesday night's a good choice for us because it's like a little low risk for an owner. Mm-hmm. And so...
What otherwise be dead,
perhaps? What's going to happen on... It's so because we were Wednesday night. Actually, Tina, when she started it with her partner, Mike Ringer, at the time, they were on Wednesday night. And that was a good night too. But yeah, I mean, I just take a percentage of the door a part of the door. Actually a part of it, not even I'd say percentage necessarily. It's like a set. And the reason I do that is because it's super important to me that the evening continues.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so sometimes I feel like promoters, they get, not necessarily swing promoters, just whatever.
In general.
They get a little, stingy or they, you know, they want to make them a lot of money. This is our second gig. We have other full-time job. So our goal is to keep the evening going and get as many people interested.
Okay.
So that's why I'm like, as long, and the swing crowd doesn't drink a lot.
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
When I first started.
I love that you come out by a drink.
When I first started, I needed like three. I'm not kidding.
You know, let's get back to that because our bartender will miss you by three drinks.
You know, it's such a wholesome scene. When I got there, we got there early for once. And one of the ladies that's, I think, a regular, like, came with like a thing of brownies for the bartender. And she's like, oh, you know, just, you know, happy birthday or just for you or something like that. I don't know. I didn't expect that level of community and kindness out of, you know, just, I guess, dance lessons. Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know what's interesting is you won't, I don't want to say for everywhere, but we've been to a lot of dance venues outside of Sacramento, and we don't see that. And then a lot of people will go far out of our area in other states, and they don't have that either.
Sure.
And
sure.
Some places will start up and they'll go, we want to have that. We want to. So they start putting out treats and stuff. And we didn't really ask anyone to do it. People just started.
No. Right. People just started doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I wanted to highlight, and one of the reasons I asked you all to come on when you did, is to preview the swing dance event at the ballroom coming up. Mm-hmm. Tina, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's a weekend full of workshops and dances and performances and competitions.
What's the proper name of the event? I'm the worst with
no, that's it's Capital City Swing Jam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the California Swing Dance Championships.
Cool. So. We'll flash it on the screen too, like a link to it. Okay. And so go ahead and tell us a little bit about it.
The classes will start at 10, and I think they're over at 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be multiple levels at the same time. So there's a beginner track, and then there's an intermediate. Then we have some advanced classes, and you just pick and choose what you want to take.
Very cool. Very cool. And I think I heard there's going to be like a competition, and there's going to be some very prominent, swingers, swing dancers,
Yeah. We'll have a Lindy competition and a Shag competition and
Balboa and a mix and match.
Mix and match is a Jack and formerly known as Jack and Jill. Which is where you don't know who you're dancing with, and you get partnered with a random person, and you dance.
And you just have to go.
You just have to go. Oh. It's very fun.
That seems like kind of intimidating.
It's exciting.
It's fun to watch.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's what's so exciting. It's not planned. You know, they don't have a set partner that they're dancing with.
Okay.
You know, it's more like impromptu.
Very cool. You can kind of see people's chemistry.
Yes. Yeah.
So one of the, a little bit about your host, guys, one of my sort of hobbies outside of this is Brazilian jiu-jitsu and martial arts in general. Mm-hmm. There is like something like a dance to martial arts.
Sure.
Where, you know, some people you have chemistry with in the sense of like, I don't know, you might be able to impose your sort of your moves and your game plan, or at least not feel awkward. And then other people's like timing for whatever reason seems herky jerky. And even though you might maybe get the best of them in a friendly sparring match, you had to like really like reluctantly struggle to do so because something about their timing was just kind of off. Their mannerisms, maybe the way they're built. Maybe you keep catching elbows or forearms and they're just kind of bony and just kind of like really rough on you. And you really kind of see that sort of like chemistry in the physical personal space play out, but you know, in this case, in martial arts, you know, but I was always interested in that interplay between sort of Brazilian jiu-jitsu and dance, you know, which I'm struggling with, which I've struggled greatly with, frankly. Johnny, thanks for your, you know, for your instruction. In fact, when we went to do Balboa, you know, Haley, we just weren't getting it.
Was that at the ball?
At the ballroom.
Yeah.
See, when you explained the steps kind of a little bit bigger steps, that made sense to us.
Okay.
And there was a little bit of dead space between us and we could kind of move and, you know, maybe if we learn it a little bit better, we'll kind of have to gradually decrease that space because Balboa is like really close to.
Yeah. Super close.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was raised Mexican, and it actually looks like a Mexican dance called the Quebradita, which is kind of like Mexican or it's kind of campy, you know? But because you're so close together, you have to be like really in sync and we're not there yet until you came up to us and you kind of moved us together. And Haley was like, man, I like when Johnny dances with us. Can we call him back for like 3 to 5 seconds? It felt like I was dancing with my partner.
Yeah,
and that was like really pleasing.
A full song. I'll just stand there and hold. Yeah, I like it. Let's do it.
How'd you get into dance?
I took ballroom at Sac State.
Okay.
And I always wanted to take ballroom, and I learned everything there that I could, and then I just was hooked.
Yeah.
I especially was hooked on swing because I had a partner in the class that was sort of, you know, step above the other guys. And he said, hey, let's go to San Francisco. you know, let's go out dancing, because there wasn't much to do around here at the time. This was back in 96, 96, around there. So we went to the city, and then I just got hungry. I just wanted to know more and more.
Really?
Yeah. I'm still hungry.
Yeah. How about you, Johnny?
I mean, I was always dancing when I was a kid, you know, like hip hop stuff and breakdance stuff. And then, I met Tina in the dorms at Sac State, and there'd be a group of us that would just go out dancing at clubbing, and we would dance. And there were some dancers that were really good. The girls that we would hang out with in the dorms, but Tina was the best. And she was like, always, I would try and do something. I would do like a hip hop move or something, or I'd do some, you know, some little club dance move or something. Yeah. And she would like mimic it. She could mirror it perfectly. And after a while, I was a little annoyed. I was getting a little annoyed. I was like, dude, do your own thing. You know what I mean? But she was so good and just like a sponge, just do it. And I was like, oh my God. And then a couple years or a year after we were out of the dorms, I ran into her at Sac State, and, and I was like, oh, how have you been? And she said she was doing this dancing, and she invited me. So I was like, yeah, I want to go check it out. So I went to the lessons, and that was it.
Yeah, I went club dancing a lot before I learned a ballroom dance.
Yeah.
In San Francisco mostly. And I would get...
Tell us about those.
I don't know. I'd just play a little game, and I'd try to stand next to somebody and try to do exactly what they're doing. That's what he's talking about. And so no one ever really noticed. But, you know, it was just like, I wonder if I can do that. And I would just try to, you know, imitate what they were doing.
Sure, sure.
It was fun.
You both all have you all both have day jobs now.
Yeah.
Right? You're a teacher.
Yeah.
You're an English teacher.
Yes.
What grades do you teach?
I teach 7th grade English and then a theater class.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Very cool. What play are you? Like, what, is it like you guys like put on a play every year?
How's it's like an...
Sorry, it's a free-form discussion. Sorry.
No, it's like an intro to theater, so it's not... It's just one semester, and then they rotate kids out. And so we do like little 10-minute plays, small group plays, and then we do... Like today we did monologues. They were performing their monologues. Very cool. We kind of build up to that. I almost treat it almost like a public speaking course in a sense, but we have fun with some of the assignments, so the kids just start feeling comfortable speaking in front of a group, because it's scary for a lot of people, you know.
It is scary.
Yeah,
it is scary,
and I feel bad for some of, so I try to like ease them into it, like first a little group project of 3 people, and then build it up to where, you know, even today I gave an option of not presenting the monologue in front of the class. Like, you could do it in like a small group. So, but I was happy that only like maybe 5 kids out of 40 chose that option. It was
cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it was really great.
Very cool. My English teachers had like probably the longest lasting impact on sort of my worldview. And
that's nice.
Nathan Sheehy and Sam Sample, if you're out there, you know, you've made a long lasting impact.
What grade was that? High school?
Yeah. So Nathan Sheehy was my wrestling coach.
Oh, okay.
You know, and you know, teachers, man, like you just like, he didn't have to stick around for 3 hours after class and, you know, and teach these kids how to wrestle. I don't think he was making any money for it. And then after that, around 5, you know, he starts at 7, right?
Yeah.
And then after 5 o'clock, we're wrapping up wrestling practice. Hey, can you give me a ride?
Yeah.
I'm 10 miles out of the way. What's he, you know, of course he's going to give me a ride.
What are you going to do?
You know?
No.
Yeah.
He's walk home.
The kindest soul, you know?
Yeah. And did you go to school here in
I'm from San Diego.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Mission Bay High School, home of the Buccaneers. Go Bucks. Class of 05. Yeah.
So you moved up. Okay, so when did you come up for college?
Or? I went to Chico State, and I wanted to work for the legislature.
So
I did that for about 6 or 7 years.
That's right. You were a surfer in San Diego.
Yeah, I was a surfer in San Diego. Yeah. It was great, a very tender childhood, a very great way to grow up. You know, I grew up surfing and doing karate and wrestling and skateboarding on the beach. It was awesome. You know,
sounds nice.
It was great. Yeah.
It sounds great. Fantastic.
And the other English teacher actually that made an impact on me was, Sam Paul. He was kind of like my Mr. Feeney. I had him every year for independent study, sort of like a seminar group discussion type of class.
But in high school, also.
In high school. Yeah. And, I took like art history and world history and English and then language. You know, he really taught me like the fundamentals of how to speak.
The high school teachers always get remembered. The middle school teachers, we kind of get lost later.
A little bit. I would agree with that.
They go to high school and they forget about that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're still, you know,
it is what it is.
You're still trying to figure out the world. And so they're kind of there. You know, I think good ones are there to kind of.
Yeah.
You're focused on your friends, not your teachers as much.
Yeah.
No offense.
Well, so thanks for what you do. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's great work.
I enjoy it. So it's all good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, by the way, what got you to come out to swing dance class?
That's a good question.
What brought you out?
Yeah, yeah. A couple of things. I'll tell you what kept me away from it. So I am I'm Mexican by birth and heritage. We're all Latinos. And so at the really basically if you're dancing is what I'm getting at. But at the family gatherings, everybody was just dancing. Mm-hmm. Salsa, bachata, merengue.
Yeah,
freestyle, every, you know, whatever. And I'm the type of guy for myself, if I want to do something, I want to be technical, I want to be proper, I want to know what I'm doing. You know, the idea of just kind of flinging my arms in space and hoping I look good doing it is like really, you know, intimidating for me. You know, I want to at least have some theoretical framework for the aesthetics of movement that I can build from in order to be comfortable dancing. You know, for the longest time, I was just like kind of scared of it because everyone around my family just kind of could naturally do it. And I was like, will somebody please teach me? And they're like, what do you mean? Just feel it. I was like, I'm not feeling it, guys. I'm not feeling it. I'm scared, you know. Dad, mom, won't you please slow down and teach me how to dance? You're like, dude, you just got to get out here and feel it. So I never learned. So I never learned. And my fiance is not particularly talented either. She has a lot of other great, you know, she has a lot of other redeeming qualities. She's my favorite person in the world, but neither one of us are particularly talented dancers. So the actual human movement of it, though, you know, it'll come up on my YouTube sometimes. And it's just totally captivated my imagination. Yeah. And
it is awesome.
Yeah, so just kind of seeing how awesome it is on YouTube and then feeling like I'm getting older, frankly, and I just turned 30 this year and it hit me hard, and kind of feeling determined not to shy away from those things that I'm scared of.
Yeah, that's good.
And to instead look for it, which is part of, you know, that same sort of feeling is what drove me to do this, you know. I mean, a lot of self-doubt associated with running a talk show out of your spare bedroom in your house, yeah, you know, for your town. But you know what they say, bravery is being scared and doing it anyways. Mm-hmm. So Tina, what do you do?
I work for a mortgage lender.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yep. So hot time for you guys right now. Right.
What did you
say? Everyone buying a house right now?
Oh, reverse mortgages.
Oh,
yes. Got so it. Seniors only.
Got it. Yes. Got it.
Very but yes, cool. They're selling well.
Yeah.
So, yep.
So for both, was there ever, you sounded like really hungry when you started talking about like, oh, when I first got into it, was there ever a sense of like, oh, maybe I'll do just this. Maybe I'll try and pursue it professionally or.
You know, there was actually when I was about 22, I was sort of trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I graduated from, or I was just graduating and it seemed like we were teaching a lot because we were teaching at the ballroom. We were teaching at the club and. You know, I had a beater car and I was making enough to get by. And I thought, maybe I'll do this for a while. I don't know. And then I just thought, nope, got to be practical. Get a job, get a 401k, get, you know, insurance.
All that stuff.
All that stuff. So I just didn't really.
Be responsible.
I just decided it would be a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't want it to be a job because I thought it might lose the, you know, the fun aspect of it. So.
Johnny, you as well or?
No, I always want to be a teacher. That's my thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a, I mean, there's a lot of parallels with martial arts and dance, any sort of like application of human movement or sport, you know?
Yeah. That's true.
When I left college, I took an internship at the state capitol and, you know, I was lucky enough to get in, but at the same time, I was like interning 20 hours a week. And then training Brazilian jiu-jitsu, boxing, wrestling, about 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I figured to myself, well, whichever one pays off first, I'll do, you know. Mm. And, you know, they offered to start paying me. I got into this fellowship. They give you a small stipend. And I realized, oh, yeah, I'm getting benefits from this. They're going to set up a retirement account for me. You know, it's not like insanely generous, but it's something to build towards your future. Sure. And then I really enjoyed the work. And then... just gradually over time, there was like a gradual weaning off, you know, of the notion that I'd maybe be a professional fighter. And that kind of got substituted with sort of that arc that you just sort of explained, right? And I think that's a good thing. You can kind of like more fully enjoy your hobbies that way. Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. How do you stay fresh if you're like teaching? I mean, you teach 2 or 3 days a week, right? And you teach as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I teach Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and then the first Sunday of the month. And then privates sometimes on the other days. I don't know. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm staying fresh. Sometimes I feel like I'm getting a little stale. So I don't know. I just try to, especially this last week, I was fighting a cold and then just like, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I do enjoy it when I start teaching or dancing at all. I just kind of forget any other stress and problems. You know, especially during if I'm dancing during, you know, that 3 minutes, I don't think about anything except that. So that's really nice. But even when I'm teaching, if I can really just get into what I'm explaining and try to have fun while I'm explaining it, then I usually kind of can relieve some stress. But sometimes there's stress, you know, before I start the class. Like I'm thinking about, okay, what am I doing? How am I going to do it? Who's here? Mm-hmm. Who's in this class? What's their ability? You know, where, you know, so.
Yeah.
Am I going to say something when I'm joking around and offend someone? That's possible to happen.
Has that ever happened? You're so chill at those dance nights.
I mean, it has
happened. And then your partner does the thing with the animal facts?
Yeah, Brooke is really great.
Who she does? She does animal facts?
Yeah. Did you know about that? Is that in line with the vision for Sax Wings?
I don't know. I'm curious what they are,
like,
though.
Wait a second. She's like, that's not our plan for Sacktown Swings. No, what?
That's funny.
My partner, like, Brooke, on Tuesday night.
It's super cool.
It's entertaining. Tina doesn't know.
Because Tina's always teaching at the same time in the other room with Pat, our friend
Pat.
I teach the Lindy Hop in the front room.
You teach in the front room.
Yeah.
Got it.
So she's teaching, and then
so I don't listen to them.
So you're there.
I'm there. That's the only night I teach. I mean, unless I do, you know, like a workshop or something.
Got it.
But for me, it's not, you know. It's not like I don't stay fresh because I'm one night a week. You know, it's fun.
Well, she goes out dancing.
I mean, I choreograph and I go out dancing.
Like for fun?
Yeah.
Well, we dance for a troupe called the San Francisco Jitterbugs. And so
we didn't talk about this. You're surprising me. You should. That's great content. Tell me.
So we dance with this dance troupe that's been around for a long time. And we
practice routines and makeup routines.
We had a dance troupe here in Sacramento back years ago. And then we met the San Francisco Jitterbugs back in, it must have been 2000. We did a halftime performance at a San Francisco.
When the Raiders were in Oakland.
Okay.
It was a 49er Raider game.
Yeah.
And so that's how we sort of reconnected. That's how we
met them at the halftime show.
San Francisco.
And then years later, we started dancing with them.
So they were like their own troupe.
Yes.
Yeah. And
established troupe.
Their organizer, their kind of lead person, his name's Johnny Lee, Johnny Blue Jeans Lee, that's his name. And so he is actually our partner in the Capital City Swing Jam as well. He helps us and he's run a lot of events. So he helps us with the Cap City.
Is nicknames in swing dance a thing?
I don't know if his nickname his didn't come came, from swing
his
dancing.
His came from college.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so no, when no... he was a young guy down south, it had to do with his clothes, I think.
Yeah, I think he wore blue jeans a lot, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how he got that. I can't remember.
I don't know either, but that's what I call him. So anyways, that's Johnny Blue Jeans, yeah. And he's a great dancer, and he kept that troupe going for so many years. And then we joined up with him, and... It's a nice little group of dancers, and we do.
We have a lot of fun.
We do
a lot of corporate parties.
Yeah.
And well, they'll rent you guys out. Basically.
We get paid. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I know. It's a professional dance group.
So, what's your favorite one? Because we've done a lot of good ones the last 2 years. Like Google was really fun. But what's your favorite one? Because we had some fun ones.
Man. You guys danced at Google?
Yes. We danced for Lucasfilms. That was one of my favorites.
Like in the background of one of the movies.
No, it was their Christmas party.
Like for and they the rented Lucas out.
Yeah. It was so a cool. three-story building, and they were on all three stories. And they had bands on every level and lots of things going on. It was fun.
I think might be my favorite, too. But I will say, the one I was really nervous about was we danced for the Cirque du Soleil. It was like their after party.
Well, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do to impress those guys?
They loved it.
Like, these people are flying through the air.
That was a party.
And they were really nice. Yeah. And like, you were awesome. And I'm like, awesome. You were like hanging from the ceiling.
By your toes.
Yeah. So impressive. Yeah,
50 feet up in the air.
They're unbelievably talented.
But that was fun too. But you're right. The Lucasfilm was really, that was a good party.
I liked Lucasfilms, I think.
Because also after we performed, then we get to party usually. And so
they were very strict. They're like, you stay over here in the corner and we'll let you know when you can come out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they kind of like, once we were done, they were like, oh, food's over there. Just stay.
Stay all night.
Yeah. Awesome. And we were just like, okay.
So we have fun with the jitterbugs, and Tina choreographs and does a lot of stuff and for the troupe.
Yeah, Let me plug this in. I should have done this before we started.
Yeah, that's a little amateurish, but we'll cut it out. Sorry, guys.
No, what it's okay. What is it?
Oh, to charge
it. The power.
Oh.
It's okay. We might even just keep it in. I think it might be kind of endearing.
So is jitterbug like a type of swing, or how does that work?
Yeah.
Are you like dancing with each other, or is it kind of like more like a how does that work? Is it like a show, or you're all kind of moving on your own?
Well,
partner dancing.
Jitterbug is a term for East Coast swing.
Got it.
That's sort of what the
see how much I know about dancing.
The old timers call it. We would call it East Coast swing, and they would call it jitterbug. It's a type of dance.
Okay. I mean, it kind of came from when you would look out on the dance floor, you know, and you would see all the people moving around.
They saw the kids dancing, and they said they look like jitterbugs, and that's how the term came about. Yeah. So.
Very cool.
I kind of just liken it to like an umbrella term for all of what we do. Lindy Hop, Humble Walk, Lita Jack, just the swing dance in general.
Let's talk about that for a second. The sort of the conceptual framework of swing as an umbrella, jitterbug. Mm-hmm. What is the broader term? What jitterbug is like that? Is that the broadest sort of umbrella for the style of dance?
I would say so. Swing and jitterbug, yeah.
I would say swing.
Swing.
Yeah.
And so underneath the swing umbrella, there's shag, balboa, lindy hop. Mm-hmm. What else am I missing here? Jitterbug.
Charleston. East Coast is sort of a, you know, like a sister to lindy hop.
It's the six count.
It's kind of the same thing, but it's a six count version of it.
Okay.
So it all started with lindy hop. I mean, after Charleston.
I know I didn't like prepare you guys for this, but if you don't mind, can we talk a little bit about the theory of swing and sort of like what makes swing swing? Can you guys just quickly take me through each one of these styles and tell me what differentiates them from the others?
Yeah. You want to go first?
Well, the
I know count, it's a tough question. Not anyone can answer that
you
question.
You do half the dances and I'll do the other.
It's hard to, I guess, without showing you. I could easily show you, go ahead.
Okay. So lindy hop is very exuberant and takes a lot of energy and very fast street style, down and dirty, bouncing into the floor, a lot of connection, a little bit more complicated. That's where it all kind of started.
Is it more like athletic almost? Like,
very athletic.
Got it.
Yes. Great workout. So that's kind of where it all started in the Savoy Ballroom. And then to kind of make it more of an easier social dance for the rest of the world, they sort of created the six count version of it as the norm.
Got it,
so that's where kind of like when I say jitterbug, I think of the six count because I think of the, you know, most of America kind of embraced that because it was easier. Lindy hop's a little bit more difficult.
Got it.
But it's kind of the same thing. So that's kind of how that started. And East Coast is, you know, Lindy hop travels a little bit more. East Coast is a little bit more
closed.
Yeah, you're in one spot on the floor, kind of moving closely together.
Okay.
You don't travel as much. There's not as much movement traveling as lindy hop.
Got it.
Yeah, you had people in the, you know, you have those flappers in the 20s, right, doing Charleston. You picture those, the girls with the fringe, and they're doing Charleston. Mm-hmm. Their feet are switching, and they're, right? And they're dancing by themselves, and then that dance catches on and people start doing that, but they start doing it together.
Enclosed position. They make a circle out of it.
And then,
yeah, that's how kind of
then it breaks apart, and that's how Lindy Hop is born. And people love Charleston, but the Lindy Hop is just, that's kind of like the main thing that everyone wants to do. Everyone wants to learn because it is so exciting, like she said. I mean, and there's so many options to what can happen.
Yeah.
What can occur during the swing out, which is the basic move. There's so many different variations and stylings, and there's so much freedom to play, which is one thing that Tina's so great at. Like, people love dancing with her because you don't know what she's going to... She could do all this crazy stuff. It's pretty cool. And that's what makes it fun. Yeah,
it's super free.
So from a...
Every dance could be different.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But not to get hung up on the theory of swing, but I've actually just had these questions for a while. So you're typically following. So to what extent do you have to... do you have like freedom to improvise and freedom to roam? Are you not obligated to see, I don't get that. Like, to follow? Like, when do you get to go and improvise?
Whenever I can. So I have to...
Which is actually quite a bit.
Every chance I get, I'm trying to take it. So, or not.
Okay.
More freedom. So basically, I have to follow what the lead is telling me to do, which is usually just really through pushing and pulling and, you know, holding me and, you know, directing me. But other than that, I can do anything with my body in the meantime. Even while that's happening, as long as I'm going where they're telling me to go, you know, I can do a lot of footwork as I'm doing it. I don't have to do the basic triple. I can throw in a kickball change and a, you know, step or anything. As long as I'm following that connection,
that's the main thing.
And even lots of things can change.
Okay,
but you have to be able to, you don't want to break what they're doing. You know what you have to do to follow, but you also have a lot of freedom to do other things.
Are you able to like guide your lead? Kind of.
That's called hijacking. And yes,
I call it co-leading.
Yes, but not very often. It's not very nice.
Got it.
Pretty much. Great. He's driving the car the whole time.
But when you're dancing with someone, who's experienced, like Tina, and does play around,
right? Like if I were to dance with you, you know so much more. Not to interrupt you.
You can. I kind of want you.
Yeah.
You open up space for her to do fun stuff. So there, if I'm dancing with someone who's more of a beginner, more beginner intermediate, then I would try to keep my framework very, you know, clear and intact, and just kind of, this is a couple things we're doing, nothing crazy. I don't want to freak them out. But someone like Tina, you can let her go, let her play around. That's going to be the joy and the beauty of that dance.
Got it.
It's really.
There are some leads that don't let you do that. They're just very controlling of your movement. It's not frustrating. I mean, it's, you know, just depends on what they're doing, but it's limiting. So if they're, you know, kind of controlling the whole thing, then I don't get to, you know, take that horn or that part of the music and do something with it. I have to just follow.
Okay.
But when you do get that chance, it's just really fun.
Okay. Okay. And yeah, so like
to play with the music.
What you're doing is like in the little opportunities that you're afforded to in life and in dance, throw in your own little affectation.
And there's a lot of leads that will be happy about what you just did and try to do what you just did. And they'll kind of, and it's sort of this back and forth conversation with, oh, I want to do that too. And so they'll do it. And then, you know, it's just this spontaneous, just really cool thing that happens.
It feels like you're talking to each other.
Yeah, and it's unlike any other dance because you don't do that in Foxtrot. You don't do that in, you know, it's really playful.
What are the defining characteristics of swing versus like Foxtrot? What are the other dances? Like proper ballroom, Foxtrot, tango?
Tango, polka. I don't know.
Polka. Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Like if we're like swing dancing, right? If I'm at a swing dance night, can I move from like the basic like step rock step to like a closed Balboa step and then back out and then throw in like a Lindy
Hop? You can mix and match any of that all night long. Yeah.
So it's okay. So
as long as you know the transitions, you can go from Charleston to Balboa to East Coast to Lindy Hop to, you know, collegiate shag to all sorts of things. That's what makes it so, you know,
that's what's fun.
It's fun because you're just playing with the music with whatever you want to do if you have all of that in your pocket.
Okay. Okay.
You know,
and you can jump around.
But that's all under the umbrella of swing. if I threw in like a foxtrot, would people be like, oh, what's that? That's fox.
It's a separate dance.
I just don't even know anything about this stuff. You
could, but it would be...
That'd be a little bit like unusual. What are you doing?
Got
it.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's very different. It depends on if the song that I play lends itself to that. I've seen people do it.
I've done foxtrot at the club, but it's usually a full song. You don't usually mix and match it with any of those swing dances. So
yeah, you wouldn't transition. You're right.
Yeah, got it. It's a cousin. Like West Coast is a cousin of Lindy Hop and swing, and then, foxtrot. Those other dances are not quite related.
I know about this much salsa, and sometimes if the song has a little salsa beat to it, sometimes I'll switch to salsa basic and do a turn, but then I'm out because that's all I know is like the basic and a turn. But that's the only other dance that I've
mixed
in.
People don't usually mix salsa.
No, people don't do that, but I do it because I like playing around.
But anything goes. You know what
you're doing, and anything goes.
With Lindy Hop, it's so anything goes.
Okay.
And other dances don't have that.
Got it.
So maybe I shouldn't say other dance because I'm sure that things like that happen in salsa or,
Okay.
But it's different.
But the defining rule is like have fun and kind of for the most part, anything goes. Yeah. See, I've been wondering about this stuff. It's like, can I do the, and I asked you too at class the other day and you said yes, but I sort of wanted to have this discussion here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm still curious though. So hang on. So you didn't tell me how you actually forced yourself to come out swing dancing, and how did you find us, and how the Sacktown Swings, did you Google it? I don't know,
So I'd originally gone with like a group of friends like 2 years ago or something like that, and I just wasn't ready mentally. Like I was like freaked out, like having like an anxiety attack, like kind of sitting on the side,
and they were all
They're all having a ball. Yeah, they're all dancing, swing, and awesome. Having fun with it.
Awesome.
And they were actually all exceptionally kind to me. You know, like, oh, let me walk you through it. Let me do, you know. And they kept inviting me, but I was just kind of like, I don't. So, and as kind as they were, I maybe didn't feel super comfortable with them. You know, for other reasons, right, of personal chemistry or whatever. Mm-hmm. But. You know, Haley wanted to do it, and she's just game to do whatever.
Awesome.
You know, she'd be like, "Do you want to jump out of a plane? Yeah, let's go. When are we doing it?" You know, she gets these little micro obsessions, and then it's not over till it's done. And it's a wonderful way to live. Like I'm learning that from her, and it's so cool.
Okay, so here's my other question, because you guys take the lesson. You're very good students, which I appreciate. Some people you can see are not always as focused.
Yeah.
And so I like that. I'm a big fan of people who pay attention, especially adults. And but then you guys don't stay that long.
I'm still scared. Okay, I don't know enough moves.
That's the issue.
I know the moves that you taught that week, and then I know maybe one or two other moves. And it's like, all right, I just did this 10 times in a row. There's like 3 minutes left to the song. I'm scared. I feel I look like a fool.
You know, girls love being on the floor, even if it's one move. They love dancing.
Yeah.
Girls love dancing.
I can sense her disappointment too when I'm just like, oh, I'm ready to leave. And she's like, really? I thought you'd be like working up to it.
Being twirled around.
Dude, you have to stay.
We love it.
Like at least, I'm telling you, you have to stay at least like 10 songs. And you have to dance at least 7 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you just have 3 moves, we're not bored. You know, it's like a roller coaster. It's just fun.
Everyone was there at some point where they were. I was there the first night.
And
the first night I was saying over and over again to my partner, step, Roxanne.
Yeah.
You have to stay.
And you just start there and then you build one move at a time. And all of a sudden you have this collection. I had my first dance partner used to carry this little piece of paper in his pocket and he'd go, right before we start dancing, he'd like, look at it and he'd go, oh yeah. And he'd put it back and then he'd just start dancing. And that's how he would remember. Because you forget sometimes, you know, until you get it in your muscle memory. Oh yeah, I could do this.
I kept a little notebook.
And he would just he always had a pocket. I don't know why. And he'd pull it out of his pocket and he'd go, got it.
You're learning jujitsu or whatever you're learning or studying at that time. Would you just do it and then I like learn the move and not apply it? No, you would
that's
probably
not true.
Spar,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'd spar. Man, that's so different. It's so similar, but it's so different. I was reflecting on this, and I was hoping I'd get an opportunity to talk about. So thanks for bringing that up.
That's your sparring.
I know. So Jiu-jitsu is very conversational, kind of like dancing also. And you do, in a lot of ways, you feel like you're talking to a guy. So there's this, I'll just give you one example, right? There's this guy I had like an epic sparring match with. Jiu-jitsu is kind of like wrestling, but with submissions, you know? So it's not like we're hitting each other, we're just kind of wrestling, right? And it's a lot of like setting traps and kind of a lot of wit, actually. And I was going, it was like a 10-minute round with this Japanese kid that was in town to study from one of our, from our team so that he could better prepare himself for his fight, you know, but he was just kind of visiting. And I got to spar with him for like 10 minutes and, he, you know, he didn't speak a lick of English. I didn't speak a lick of Japanese, but we understood each other, you know, and like he almost got me. And then I was like, came back and was like dominating him. And then there was a time where I was kind of like for a good, like 7 minutes, I was like winning all the exchanges. And I thought I was on my way to like submitting him. And then at the very end, at like the very last minute of the round, he like fakes like he's going for my left arm. And in my reaction, I put my right, my right arm in the trap and he submits me with that. So he like faked one arm. I pulled it out, but left the other arm in the trap. And that's what he held on to. And it was really clever. It was really clever the way that he did it. And like the frenetic pace that he set leading up to it kind of made me like lose my composure, not think about what I'm doing. And then he set that trap like that. And like I said before, I can't speak to him in Japanese and he can't speak to me in English. But after he did that, we were both kind of chuckling and I was like, good one. Like you got me. Like we both knew, you know, he knew that he laid that trap on me and that I was, that I was a sucker for it. And I knew I had an appreciation of how clever that was. And we both had that moment where like, despite the language barrier, we were both just like, dude, good one. You got me, you know? I think the difference between jiu-jitsu and martial arts and dance is like the inversion of rhythm. By which I mean, you know, sparring in a wrestling or jiu-jitsu or judo, all like cousin arts that are again defined by the rule sets. You know, you are kind of paying attention to their rhythm and to their natural flow. And in that sense, it might be kind of like a dance. Like you are, there is some rhythm to it, right? But you're not seeking to sync up with it. Rather, you're looking to understand their rhythm as best as you can so that you can mess it up, you know, as easily as possible. Okay. So, you're like looking to understand their rhythm and the rhythm of their movement so you can like disrupt it. You're not looking to harmonize with it. And it, in that sense, they seem like really similar, but also really opposite. I don't seek to harmonize with an opponent's rhythm in a martial arts application. Right. So it's hard to sort of like to do that on the dance floor. Right. I could probably like trip my partner really easily. Like I have an awareness of when they're stepping and the timing of their steps, but like kind of like I'm having trouble shutting off my mind and be like, okay, I can just kind of go and know that we'll be in sync and have comfort in that, right? Like in martial arts, probably around the 3-year mark, there's a point where you just your mind can shut off. And then you're just kind of you're just swimming. It's it's beautiful, you know? And I've not reached that point yet with dance. My mind is still on and I'm really nervous that I'm going to like, in fact, I know that we're not in rhythm and I know that we're not harmonizing unless I'm with like a really advanced person, but then it's kind of like I'm being like led to it in like, you know, does that make sense?
But you're never going to, this is what I'm saying. You're never going to get to that point unless you stay and apply it socially for like at least a half an hour. Like your trainers in, like, what are you training right now? Who's one of your trainer guys, right? They train you and they tell you.
They'd be mad at me too. Yeah, they'd be like, why are you leaving?
They tell you to do something and you do it. Well, if I'm your professor, I'm swinging.
I did introduce you as my professor, I'm telling you,
and you're listening to me during the class, you're a good student. I'm explaining to you, you have to stay at least 30 minutes, dude. Hey, you got to dance.
What you're talking about exists. Yeah. And it's there. And it's just a certain distance for every person to get there. You know? However far it is for you right now, I don't know. And you might not know. But it's there. And that exists. So you reach that point where it is just, you're not counting. You're just in total sync with your partner. And it's beautiful, just ecstasy.
I've felt
so much fun.
I've felt it for like 3 seconds.
Oh, okay.
You know,
we're so like, you know it's there.
Yeah, I know it's there. I know it can come. eventually.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, yeah. And then like dance, and then so there's a great level of comfort dancing with Haley. She's like so patient with me, and she's probably picking it up a little better than I am, and she's like really cheering me along. But then you kind of like the rotation with straight, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, I did try to stay. It's a very stern Russian lady, you know, starts, I don't know why, but I wound up dancing with her and she just says something to me like rock step too slow. You know, it's so funny because her technique was proper. You know, she was, I don't know, she looked like she was doing everything but having fun, you know, very stern, very serious, you know, sure. But her technical advice was like really, really sound, you know, but I just kind of like, I just kind of added on to it, you know. I was like,
you gotta just move.
Take it with a grain of salt. Yeah, you gotta keep going, man.
You gotta push through all that.
Just leave it there and just have fun.
You gotta do the next, push through all that. Yeah. Next follower.
Yep. It's all just learning experiences. It'll just make you that much better. The more people you dance with, it kind of sharpens all those little.
And when you find someone and you have these dances where you're right, where your brain does kind of just shut off. Mm-hmm. It is really, like Tina said, it's like ecstasy. But you know what happens to me? You know, people talk about getting a runner's high. Like sometimes I'll get like I feel like I had just had a dancer's high where the song ends and I can't really remember exactly what, like, I feel like there was a moment where I kind of blanked out.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like you get all euphoric and you're dancing and then like I didn't have to think about a thing. It just happened.
It's a super high.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's where I am with that's where I am with martial arts.
Right.
Yeah.
And you got there because you practiced. Mm. And
so, you got to put the work in.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
it's just more fun the more, you know,
I went through that process at a time when I was less attached to my ego because I started with wrestling at like 14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I wrestled for, you know, through high school and college, so that's 8 years, and I've been doing jiu-jitsu for about 8 years. So my totality in you know, wrestling and jiu-jitsu, sister cousins, they fall under the umbrella grappling, you know, and then grappling falls under the umbrella unarmed combat, right?
Yeah.
So unarmed combat's like two big umbrellas. You're either hitting somebody, which is striking, or you're grabbing a hold of them, which is grappling. And so under grappling, you have like Brazilian jiu-jitsu, judo, sumo, folk-style wrestling, Greco-Roman wrestling. The Irish have a variant called the Glima. I mean, ad nauseum, right? Every anthropologically unique society has created a form of wrestling to sublimate violence, create a strong citizenry, allow men to settle disputes without people dying, right? So once you get to a level of comfort with it, it's awesome. But I started when I was 14. I had no egos. I didn't know any better. You know, I was like, for sure embarrassing myself, for sure looking like a fool trying to learn the movements. But, see, it also wasn't a social setting. It wasn't like entertainment. That's the other thing. That's kind of like people are out and this is like they're, you know, you're not out there with like the wrestling team. You know, you're out there with like your peers in society. Mm-hmm. You know, it's rather adult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but that's the other thing is when you're out there, like you said, the crowd is really nice. Everyone's super accepting.
Yeah.
You know, they're very welcoming. So you just gotta go out there and try it.
And here's the other thing I'm afraid of, I'll be honest. What if I start dancing, like we start rotating partners, and I have some incredible chemistry with some woman that isn't Haley?
No.
I mean, not like sexual, but like, you know, like we just get each other's movements or whatever. Like does that make sense?
I don't know. I don't know that
dance partners gravitate towards each other, I'm sure, at the higher levels because there is a certain chemistry, or no?
But it's for 2 minutes, and then you move on to the next. Like it's not anything to worry about.
Okay,
it's just fun.
That's a good point. That's a good way to
say. You're not like
you're good to go.
You're just you're on to the next, and you have a different experience with the next person, and it's just all night long. You know, different experiences, and different connections, and it just can depend on the song too. The song can make a big difference. You know, because I can dance with one guy who kind of specializes in certain things, you know, to a certain song that doesn't fit his, you know, style, or he doesn't like it, or, you know, it just doesn't work. And then I can dance with him to another song. And then, you know, that turns into my cigarette dance for the night. So, you know,
Do you all have folks that have been showing up for the whole 11 years?
Boy, that oh, we have 20,
people.
Well,
we have people to go like, back, you know, so right after
in,
I started.
Yeah, it started. She started in 97.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And there are a couple people who are still there since 97.
We've known for a long time.
And do you see, like, I'm sure you see particularly talented students and particularly not talented students, right? Mm-hmm. You were talking earlier about building a classroom, like building a lesson. You know, you assess who's there.
Sure.
What's that like when you maybe have like the 30 or 40 people there and they're all like varying levels of ability? You do a good job of
commandeering that. Obviously, but I try to shoot for the middle, and then the people who I think are struggling, I'll just have to go touch bases with them more throughout the class. You know?
Got it.
We kind of do the same thing.
Yeah. That, I mean, like
it
tonight,
just depends on, yeah.
Tonight at the ballroom, the same thing. Like I had an idea of what I wanted to do. And there are times when I have an idea what I want to do, and then I get there and I go, that's just not going to work. I got to change it.
Have to change it on the spot. And you just, you know, focus on one thing. If it takes longer, it takes longer, you know? And then you maybe pick something different because, you know,
Sometimes, like tonight was weird. I had a move and there was a segment. It was a sequence of moves that I was teaching this intermediate class. And there was a part that I thought was going to take literally 60 seconds, and it ended up taking about 10 minutes. Like they just were having a hard time with it.
And that happens.
Yeah. It's weird. Like
it's just the nature of it. You know, you just have to see what happens. It's kind of like,
Work the lesson doesn't go.
I hate to go back to something.
This is free form. I mean, in fact, I appreciate that you're,
I didn't understand.
Asking me questions.
What is a cigarette dance?
I knew you were going to ask that. I maybe shouldn't have mentioned that.
I like that we're having a discussion.
We decided.
I thought it was like an industry term. No. I thought it was like a technical term. I just went with it.
One night, you know, sometimes you have a really good dance and it's so good that you need a cigarette afterwards because it was so good. And so we started like joking around, just the girls, and we were like, who was your cigarette dance tonight? Jeez. You know? And
oh, wow.
We'll say, you know.
I thought that's what she's talking about, but no, Tina, how dare you?
I know.
Yeah, you know, one of the things
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard that? We've been saying that for a while.
Who?
I don't know.
You and your girlfriends.
Kathy and I.
All right.
Yeah. No, it's good to stop and like do a double take on something. Yeah. Sometimes just kind of nod and say, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going along with it, and so are you.
It just goes to show you what happens on the dance floor sometimes where you're just like, whoa, that was incredible.
Tina's got her own lingo. She's made up her whole.
See, that's what I was talking about, though, earlier was that like you get that chemistry with a certain dancer. You're like, wow.
Yes, and that's true, but it's just on the dance floor. You know?
And then it's over.
Right, right.
Yeah, you smoke your cigarette and you're good again.
You know, when we were kids, we used to sort of wonder at the marvels of the world from the sandbox. Mm-hmm. And we'd kind of wrestle around with each other and play with each other and be like, oh, look at this sand, you know. And you'd actually like maybe even like touch and play each other, you know, and in totally innocent ways. But it's sort of like that haptic communication with your fellow man, right? And the process of growing up is really the process of stopping to touch, like no longer having that innocent playtime with your peers, you know. And that's one of the things that I think also attracted me to dance was you're sort of like getting together to celebrate as a community, and you're like in contact with one another in a totally like innocent and playful way that really calls to the better natures of your being, right?
Yeah.
But you know, we're like living in these boxes stacked on top of each other in these cubes, like
with our cell phones.
Yeah, you never just stop and like,
I know,
let me dance with a total stranger. It's kind of cool.
It's very cool. And some nights, I'm not gonna lie, I'm like, oh, I don't want to drive downtown, and I never regret it. Always, I mean, 100% of the time, I'm like, I'm so glad I came down, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is there like a spectrum of like attributes that you adjust for differently? So again, in martial arts, if someone's particularly strong, you might have to summon your quickness, right? If someone's fast, you might try to like have to like wrestle them down and pin them down, right? And so the it's like this asymmetrical game of chess where everyone's physical attributes like kind of are worth like, oh, he's really strong. He starts with an extra bishop. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, he's really quick. He starts with an extra rook. You know, and then you kind of like play the game based on each other's, the asymmetry of each other's abilities, right? So it happened a little bit with dance where like maybe this person's like really athletic and wants to go for the Lindy Hop and you're like struggling to catch up. Or this person's like maybe a little bit slower and you kind of got to play along with them.
As a follow, yes, I'm constantly adapting.
Yeah.
So if he's off beat, not to the music, I go to his beat. You know, I'm trying to have a really good connection.
Him. You won't like look to guide.
Don't gesture towards me. Will you?
I wasn't. I was saying right here. Off
beat? If he's off beat.
I'm talking about this invisible space of this person I'm dancing with right next to me. Clarify. Not you, just my lead who's to my left. She's
pointing
who's holding me to the right. Anyway, no, not you. But anyway, so you're, sometimes you have a really strong lead and this is where the follow has to do some, you know, major adapting. So I lighten my follow or I'll strengthen my follow or I'll, I'm just constantly, you know, I'll be quicker or I'll, you know, loosen up or I'll just take my time, you know. So I'm, that's my job. I'm adapting to what's going on, what he's telling me to do.
Got it. John, you ever dance with someone? You're like, I don't know, she looks like she's got a bad leg. I better cool it.
You mean, yeah, I mean, you go, you have to adjust your lead to who you're dancing with. I've danced with, you know, very elderly women and sometimes they, not necessarily at the club, but there were, I remember one time that we were at the library downtown and the floor was super slick.
Is that why they put the chalk on the floor?
So
to make it more slick, they put chalk on the floor when it's sticky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put some cornstarch
or
just to make it, because at the club, the floor is fine and it gets cleaned, but it's still, you know, the other nights a week, there's house music, there's different things going on.
Beer spilling.
Yeah. So it's not always the nicest, but it's actually been a lot better the last few years.
Yeah.
And so I just put a little down just to keep it a little, you know, slick. But if it's too slick, then you're worried someone's going to fall. And I, you know, you have to be very careful. Yeah.
Some people have a hard time with balance. You know, as you get older, you lose your balance. And so that's one of the great things about dancing is it helps with that. But yeah, it can be a little tricky.
I mean, if someone is, yeah, if someone, if it seems like they're going to fall or they're having a hard time, then I just usually go to closed position and just keep them hold tight. Them.
Yeah, you have to adjust. Yeah. You have to adjust. You'll spin. Just you stop spinning and you just start doing something else.
I limit the amount of turns and spins and I try to go slow. And yeah, you just adjust.
Very cool. Where can people find you for lessons? Do they go online? Do they seek you?
Yeah, so
you got to show up at the Barfly?
Or? The website is sacktownswings.com. Okay. The ballroom of sacramento.com. That's another one because that's where I teach, you know, more formal lessons. I mean,
do they have different vibes on purpose? Because when I go to the ballroom, not that it's that I prefer one or the other, but they feel focused. Like different places.
Okay, so yes, at the studio, it is very focused. Like she's saying,
it's focused. People are there to learn. They want to really learn. At the club, they want to have a good time.
Yeah, it's very formal at the studio. It's a little more informal at the club because they know afterwards you're going to have a drink and relax. And
I'll be honest, I kind of prefer the club.
Yeah, at the studio, you're a little more like, hey, we're learning this. Sometimes there's a dance afterwards, but the classes during the week are like, learn it, and then you're going to apply it later.
Practice
you're
not gonna it. Dance. Got it. Yeah, got learn it. The technique really well.
When I have a first Sunday swing out like I had last night, I teach a lesson, and there's a dance afterwards, like at the club.
Got it.
But, you know, tonight there was just two classes, and then people go home, and maybe they'll practice, and they'll apply it later at the club or something.
They keep that arrow in the quiver
for later. Yeah. So they can go to those websites, and then the website for our event is capitalcityswingjam.com. Mm-hmm. So you can go there to sign up for that and check it out and see what's going on, all the instructors and the competition.
Class and list the and the bands and all that.
Yeah, we've got some great bands coming. So, yeah, go to the websites.
Okay, cool.
And there's Facebook. There's Facebook pages too.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just such a nice atmosphere. You know, the people are so nice.
We're extra friendly here, in my opinion.
You really are.
I feel
really
like
we have a special Sacramento doesn't know how amazing our people are.
Is there like a ceiling to how big swing can get? Is it for everybody is, because there's like 30, 40 people, but I have to wonder, there's got to be a broader appeal.
It was for everybody in the 40s. Why wouldn't it be for everybody today?
Yeah. And, you know, like, there was obviously in 97 when Tina and Mike started the evening, it was booming because of the Gap commercial.
It was a little revival.
Oh, really? There's a Gap commercial?
There was a Gap commercial.
Yeah, Jump, Jive, and Whale.
Yeah, and so...
And Swingers came out, and, you know, a couple things happened where, you know, we were teaching at a different club at the time, and I remember thinking, wow, this is exciting, because it was, you know, it had built up to then, but then we got to a point where we were teaching like 200 people, and we were up on a podium with microphones, and I was like...
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God, it's only going to get bigger. This is so exciting, you know, and the room was packed.
Well, there were nights when there were 200 people dancing and 150 people just sitting to enjoy a drink and watch.
So we had
were 350 people in that 815 L Street. It was sometimes. At 815 L. It was insane.
It was right at that time. Yeah. And so I was thrilled. And, you know, it kind of goes through the waves, you know.
Very cool. Very cool.
You talked
earlier about struggling to drive downtown. What part of town do you live in?
Oh, I'm out. You know, towards Folsom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. Very.
But it just seems like, you know, it's about half an hour. Tired after work and you're like.
The city's growing. It's a beautiful thing. But I've noticed the traffic increasing. Yeah. So this one's for fun, guys.
But it's always worth it.
We are the farm to fork capital of the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or of the country.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the last great thing you ate here in town?
You want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. I go to the Sac Republic soccer games. I have season tickets and I enjoy going to the games. And last Wednesday, there was a food truck there that was, I think it was called Slider Nation. I forget. I hadn't seen it there before, actually. So I was like, let me try this one. And it was some sliders and it was delicious.
Yeah.
It was like... it was like a bacon with cheddar and it was great. So
Tina, I'll give you a little bit more time to think.
I can't think of anything else. I had something, but I have to tell you, I love Dos Coyotes. It's one of my favorite restaurants.
Oh, they're awesome.
And it's sort of a gem that we have here, kind of like other places don't have. So my sister was visiting on Saturday and I took her there because she was like, I want to go to Dos Coyotes. So I had their Yucatan chicken salad and it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Haley loves the salads there.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Everything
they're always
is
super
awesome.
Friendly too.
They're really,
they're always like super,
one
super
of my
friendly.
Favorite restaurants that is really just a Sacramento.
I stopped by Uncle Vito's new location on R Street. And when I first started, living here in Sacramento, I had the misfortune of renting out a studio about a block away from Uncle Vito's. And so I'd look at my monthly expense breakdown, like Vito's was probably taking like $100 a month just in pizza. It's so good. It's so good. The pepperoni pizza there is so good. So I thought I would stop into the new location on R Street. And I was kind of worried a little bit about the dilution of quality as they expand to another location. But they nailed it. Everything I love about Vito's pizza on 16th Street is still there at the R Street location. It's a cool vibe. And you know,
I've never been there.
They just opened up. It's a new, Uncle Vito's generally.
Yeah.
Great pizza.
In general.
Great pizza.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never, the last one I tried new was Zelda's. I've never been to Zelda's.
Oh, Zelda's is outstanding too.
I liked it.
The deep dish?
The vibe. Yes.
Yeah, they got that like black popcorn on the ceiling with like the red glitter on it. It's so cool.
But I'm going to go now. I like, I've always seen Uncle Vito's. I've never gone. I'm going now.
I haven't seen it.
It's pretty cool. It's super casual. You know, you can get a drink at the bar too. They'll do a happy hour. It's like $5 and a slice.
I'm into it.
It's like $5 for a beer and a slice during their happy hour. And yeah, it's just a phenomenal pie. So
we'll hit that up. Then we'll go dancing. Yeah. We'll dance off the pizza.
Sounds good.
There you go. Final thoughts. And that's okay. We'll have
you. I want you to stay longer. That's my final thought.
I will stay longer. It's also, I'm leaving town for 2 weeks because we're getting married and we're going to do the East Coast tour. Thank you. Yeah. We're determined to see the whole United States. So we're going to get this big map and we're going to do strings as we chart across the map of the United States as we chart out trips. So we're going to put a big string down the East Coast. We've got a string down the West Coast. And probably next up in 18 will be the American South.
So I'll see you in a few weeks. And then you'll
see him in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. I will stay. That is my commitment to you. And you, you heard it here. You heard it here, guys. I'll give you guys an update. You know,
I'm just saying, like, 5-6 songs. Oh, that's too much.
I'm so scared.
You have to dance with me.
Okay. Okay. We're on. Okay. We're on. Okay. And you should take Haley under your wing, too.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. She's really fond of you.
Oh, that's nice.
She is really fond of you.
That's nice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all for joining us. This has been another episode of Sacktown Talks, where we were pleased to preview the Capital City Swing Dance. Whether you want to move and shake yourself or simply wonder at the marvel of human movement, this event is for everybody. It's coming up when again? October 18th?
Weekend 13th. After this one.
13th. Weekend after, well, October 13th.
13th to the 15th.
At the ballroom. Yeah, cool. And the ballroom of Sacramento.
Great. And we'll flash it up
on the screen.
It's going to be quite a party. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you again.
Thank you.